The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Today's episode is brought to you by Devour Frozen Meals, the official frozen meal of UFC. They put big flavor first with premium meats, creamy sauces, and gooey cheeses. Next time you're in the freezer aisle, check out Devour's white cheddar mac and cheese with bacon, packed with delicious gooey cheese that makes for an epic cheese pull when you grab a bite. Jimmy! I know, Matt. How about their loaded potatoes with Angus beef and bacon? I die, Jimmy! Nothing caps off a night of fights quite like some crispy bacon and juicy hunks of meat. Devour believes all food should be mouthwatering, period. End of story. Each meal has the taste dialed up and the flavor maxed out. Devour Meals, the official frozen meal of the UFC.
Oh, my God.
Time to fight of the night check right now, Dana White.
I have hands. I'm not afraid. You hit me, and I say, okay, let's play this game.
Beneil Dariush, ladies and gentlemen.
He's picked him up. That is really great timing from Whitaker.
I'll tell you what, that fight was so stressful.
Robber the Reaper Whitaker.
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. We're dangerous. Listen to me, we're at it.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. Again, Matt and I still separated by miles, although yeah. Our hearts connect.
Well, Jimmy, I mean, listen, it's not super interesting, but you know what happened? I'm about to start, and I couldn't find the Zoom, so I had to, like, download it again or whatever yeah. it is. That's hard. And when I do that, I got to call my wife in because I,
sure.
you know, I have a lot of issues with
that's okay,
things,
yeah.
You know, I don't take to everything like I took to jiu-jitsu or right. fighting in a cage. But anyway, and then I saw outside, they're, like, tarring the street or something in front of our block. So I'm like, fuck, man, I got to take my kids to dance after this. I'll be stuck here. So I had to run out and, like, yeah, I got to move the shit. And then they're like, no, we're touring tomorrow. We're just ripping up the street. Sorry, Jimmy. I could have waited. I could have.
If that's the whole story, if that's the end of the story, I'm going to close my Zoom.
Jimmy, it's not one of my best stories, but it is a true story. And I apologize.
I hope so, because if you made that up, that's really worse.
Let's start the show right now. Hey, everybody.
No, we're started. No, that's okay. A part of the show. That's part of it, Matt. There's no change in it.
There he is.
How you doing, Miss? Sorry for the wait, buddy.
Yeah, it was my fault. You don't want to hear why. It's not the most entertaining story, and I just bored the whole audience with it. They're they're tarring my street. And I didn't want to be stuck with my cars in the drive. I shouldn't even brought it up.
You should. He's probably dying to know. This is a great story.
It's such a bad story. I don't want to tell it twice. Let's pretend like he just picked up now. Okay. Beneil, what's up, buddy?
What's up, bro? I heard you guys are having tech problems. Those are serious.
We were, but Matt, this is, and I hate to blow a great story, but Matt, they were going to tar in front of his house. And so he decided to move his car. Just so he could get out again, but then they told him we're not tarring till tomorrow. And I swear that's a true story.
You know it's true because it's a horrible story, but
it's the best story I ever heard.
Hey, you know what I like to hear? That you're on a 4-fight winning streak.
Yeah.
That's what I like. I like those 4, you finished people, subbed them.
Yeah. With bonuses. Well, no, one was a KO.
I get extra excited for the jiu-jitsu, for the, you know, I'm a jiu-jitsu
guy. Yeah, I get you, but I couldn't submit that that Thiago Moises kid, man. He's really tough. I didn't actually get a chance to submit him, but the last fight was a knockout. Jakar and I had like a little wild exchange, and then I came out on top.
And I'll tell you, Jakar is a stud. And I was looking at that like, man, this has got Fight of the Night written all over it. And I'm like, these guys are both going to be battered and bruised. And if you had to think, like, I remember thinking going in, all right, I think Beneil's going to have to really utilize his jiu-jitsu in this fight. Only because Jakar is so dangerous standing. And fuck, look at you. Unbelievable.
Exactly how, like, I had a game plan. Like, the game plan was simple. Go out there, take him down, hold him, look for the submission. And if I can't just continue to take him down, because I felt like I had such a big advantage in the takedowns and the grappling. So I get out there and I take him down the first round. I jump on his back and I ride him like a backpack for about 4 minutes. Round two comes around and his corner starts yelling at him. He's tired. His legs are tired. And they just like yell. And like, it kind of pisses me off, but more than anything, it makes him rush me. So he starts to rush me, and then we just get that exchange. But if it wasn't for his corner, I think round two would have been much more technical and maybe even longer. But like, because he rushed me, I just said, all right, well, you know, this is what it is, I guess.
You played off. Sometimes the corners, they could do that, right? They could actually, you could make you, if you are getting a little tired, it can give you that little, F you, I'm not tired. Now I'm going to show you I'm not tired type of thing.
Yeah, I didn't want to curse, but yeah, like I was like, yes, F you guys. I'm not even close to tired. I wanted a shout out. Like, you know how many sprints I've done for this fight? I'm never going
to
get tired.
You guys do listen to other corners. I always thought it would be easier if you were fighting somebody and they don't speak your language and you don't speak theirs, because then the corners could just kind of yell at each other or to the fighters without the other guy knowing what you're saying. But will you listen to what they're saying, or is it a little bit easier nowadays?
I listen, because, I mean, it's there. I try to listen to my coach, and then their coach's voice comes through as well. And that's kind of the more experience I get, the better I hear, actually. The better I'm at hearing the corners, my corner and the other team's corner. And now that there's no crowd, I'm going to be able to hear everything. That's which I'm excited about.
Right. Your fight was in March, right? It was it before the lockdown, March 7th?
It was the last card before the lockdown.
Okay. So you haven't done this yet. You haven't fought with no, I'm sure you've watched a bunch of them. And for you guys, it's probably not going to be that much different, but for some fighters, it's affected them a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I cornered Giga Chikadze, and I was supposed to corner Marvin as well, Marvin Vittori, but his fight fell through. Personally, so far, I loved it. I love the fact that it's quiet. Every time I throw a kick, I can hear everything. Like, I think there's something to that. Like, being able to hear everything, I can hear the guys breathing. It gives you another layer to fighting. So I actually prefer it.
And do you think there's any? Oh, sorry, Matt. I wanted to ask too. Is there any? Because a lot of times the referees, whether they want to admit it or not, are slightly influenced by people booing, and people will boo if there's like two guys are up against the cage too long, or they don't see enough action, and the referees will stand somebody up. Do you find, or do you expect it to be any different now that there's no crowd interaction, so the ref will just be going on his own instincts as opposed to listening to a crowd?
Yeah, that might be better, especially for a style like mine. I'm great at hugging, so I had a body triangle, and I was trying to choke, and they started booing. I'm like, what can I do? There's literally nothing I can do here that's gonna like satisfy you except let go and exchange.
No, I was just gonna say, not only that, but by you getting that body triangle, by you saying backpacking Jakar in the last fight, I feel that leg that could help lead to the knockout. Going to that second round, I guarantee Jakar's like, all right, I can't let this go to the floor again. I'm gonna lose a round. If I don't get submitted, at least I'm gonna lose a round. It almost is like they lower their sword a little bit for the stand-up. Do you agree?
I agree, and I think he had a lot of anxiety of getting stuck in that same position. 100%. And his coaches added to that, his corners added to that by saying, go, 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 go. So I think that actually helped me a lot. He came in, and, you know, he did clip me. He tagged my chin, and everybody thought I was hurt. But in reality, I wasn't hurt. I was just like, oh, okay, I got hit. Let's reset. And you know, get back to get in good base, because you want to fight. You always want to fight from good base, and I didn't have a great base, so I was trying to get back into good base, and he's just chasing me. And as I got back into good base, I was able to start landing. And then once I heard him, I chased him all the way to the other side of the cage.
I remember that. Now, your striking coach, it's still our Rafael Cordero? Or no?
Yeah.
Now, how cool is it to see him working with Mike Tyson?
You got to understand, man. I've never seen him so inspired. He is so excited. He's so happy. And, like, he comes in and brings a new level of excitement, but also a new level of technique all the time. All the time he comes in, he said, we did this, we're going to do that. So, but, you know, MMA, boxing, a little different. So we're going to do this and this and this. So he's so hyped right now. Yeah. It's one of the coolest things I've seen. To see my coach so happy, I love it, man.
I wonder how they hooked up, because I'll tell you, you know, everything is chemistry. You know that, Benil, especially with coaching. And it looks like they have a very – because he's such a – Rafael is such a very – warm, like he's always got that nice smile, always smiling. He gives off a very positive vibe, and he's such a great coach. I love seeing them work together. It looks like they have a very nice chemistry, you know.
So I'm not sure exactly how they got connected, but I, you know, we've been there. We did like the Ali, my manager. He had that meeting for all his fighters a couple of times at the Tyson Ranch. So I know Master Rafael knew Mike and his agent. So, and I believe his agent reached out to do mitts. I'm not sure why they picked him, but they reached out, and it's been, you know, it's been a blast since.
And when is Tyson fighting? Do you know?
I think it's September 12th. They said something like that, and it's going to be against Roy Jones Jr.
Yeah.
Oh man. What a fight.
Has Jones Jr. ever fought at heavyweight?
He fought heavyweight, but it was more towards the end of his career. It wasn't like, you know, like your normal Roy Jones where he's jumping in now with his hands down and things like that. But you know, we'll see how this fight goes.
Yes.
I'm so excited. And you know what's crazy? These guys are only 3 years apart. They're not right. Like, it's not like a big age gap.
Yeah. I don't mind it as much.
Some people might think there's a big age gap.
Yeah, I don't mind it as much when it's two guys who are both retired and they're both in that same age group. Like, I don't want to see either one of these guys get hurt. Like, I hate seeing fighters. I mean, look, when Del fought Chuck fought Tito again, and it didn't end well for him. And I felt bad for Chuck because I love Chuck, but at least it was just two guys in the same age group who have a history together. It wasn't like some guy coming back and fighting a 27-year-old. So I'm looking forward to seeing this just because I love watching. I mean, who doesn't? There's something about Tyson. It's like it'll never be boring to watch him fight.
It's like hearing him hit pads, just watching the videos. It's your eyes get all big and you're like, are you sure this guy's 54? And Master Rafael says like his shoulders, he has to go home and ice his shoulders.
Oh,
he says holding mitts for him is completely different than holding mitts for anybody else. And the way he moves side to side, he says he's never seen it before.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm happy for, I guess there's probably a lot of money at stake. And I said that like a total idiot, but I mean, there must be a good payday for these guys to both go through camps and come back. It must be worth it.
That's what I was thinking too. It's gotta be a lot of money, but you also have to see it with Tyson. Like he just, it seems like he was not happy with the way things finished, and he just feels like there's unfinished business. As far as I can see it, I think he still has some unfinished business. You can see it, you know, in some of his interviews and things like that. When he talks, he still talks about when he was a fighter and how he was and how he's still that guy and he's trying to change that guy. But I think if he's still trying to change it, maybe he doesn't really want to change it because it's been a while, you know. So I think deep down he actually really wants to get back into the ring.
And it's amazing. Like you look at the movie The Hangover, how heavy he was, and you're like, oh, that's it for him. He's never going to get back in shape again, let alone fight again.
Yeah.
And now look at that.
And then
it gives me hope when I get chubby that I can lose weight and look like Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
Hey, Bruno, let me ask you a question, brother. It caught my attention before when I'm like, you're in the cage and the guy does this. You could be like, F you, and you threw it in there like, well, I wouldn't curse. And it's like, that's so funny. You're such a nice guy, and I curse a lot. And
too much for my taste, by the way.
I know. I try to clean up my act. I really do. But, you know, my thing is, you stub your toe, you do something, something flies out of your mouth. I can't picture you saying, what do you say? It's not going to make you look less manly. You're a dangerous mofo. What do you say? Right now, something bad happened. Shad, darn. What do you do? Tell me. I want to know.
Nah, it's probably dang it. I say dang it quite often. And to be honest, if you want me to curse, just have my wife nag at me, and then it won't take long before I start cursing.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, I could relate. That's awesome. How long have you been married for, buddy?
I got married like February, so
that's newlywed stage.
I just got married. Yeah, so it was the March was the craziest fight I've ever had, because I looked to buy a house. I got married. We were doing the wedding, 400 people at our wedding, and like we got kicked out 15 days before our early for some reason. So it was a mess, man. I had to stay with my in-laws for a bit. Woo, man, that was a long 2 weeks.
So, but you did get married, and you did have the big wedding with all the people there?
Yeah, we had the big wedding. Okay. Everything went well. But to be honest with you, wedding was February 1st, so we got married. And us during the wedding, I couldn't lose a single pound of weight. I weighed 181 to like 182 every day. The day of my wedding, I got up and I ran for a good 30 minutes just to lose weight. I barely ate anything during my wedding day. Woke up the next day, my weight was the same. I could not lose weight for some reason. And that was just consistent. Like, weight was staying on. And then the wedding was over, and then we kind of figured out the house stuff, and then all the stress went away, and then my weight finally went down, like right before the fight. That was a long camp.
What do you do when you can't lose weight? Like if you're at a plateau and for whatever reason your body is not cooperating, what do you do to like kind of kick it into the next level? Is there anything you can do to make that just to get the ball rolling again?
You know, what I've come to realize, like a 24-hour fast will actually work really well, because when you fast for 24 hours or maybe longer, your brain forgets about the stress of this or that, and it just focuses on like, crap, we haven't ate, and it just gets rid of the stress and things like that, and helps you reset. So I'll fast sometimes 24 hours if I can, even longer, but it's not that easy, so I don't do it often.
Yeah, that shit. Yeah, the fasting. Yeah, my days of fasting are over.
Yeah.
I think, you know what I mean, Jimmy, a couple hours, I need a, you know, protein bar or something.
Yeah.
I enjoy
eating. Right now, like 2 hours is the longest I'll go without eating. Normally, I eat every 2 hours. Like I'll eat a full meals 4 hours, and then I'll snack every 2 hours. So I'm not a big fan of fasting, but I'll do it if I have to.
What's your idea of a snack? Like, I imagine your idea of a snack is a lot different than what I snack on, which would be judged by the shape you're in and the fact that I have tits. So I would imagine that your snacks are healthier than mine.
Man, if we're not in camp and we're just hanging out, I'll take some deep dish pizza. Oh. If that's a snack. But if I'm in camp, like right now, I'll have a meal, and then like every 2 hours, I'll either have some avocado or I'll have some almonds. It's not like ideal, but I'm actually a foodie, man. I could care less about abs. I could care less about, like, you know, how big my biceps are. I'd rather eat and be fat and happy, but you know, I chose the wrong profession.
So you said you like avocado or like almonds. Both things are kind of high in natural fat, right? Like, is that a conscious choice?
Yeah. So, you know, when I get closer to fights, my carbs go down and my protein and fats go up. So that's it. Mostly my snacks are fats. They keep me full longer. And then my meals are proteins and veggies.
No nuts?
Oh, yeah.
You don't like nuts?
No, I'll eat nuts. I'll eat almonds, pistachios. Pistachios I like the best, but yeah.
I'm a big fan of fucking nuts. Hey, how's the quarantine? How's your training been during this whole COVID thing? Is it messed you up at all?
Man, it was garbage for a little bit. We had to shut down our gym. Like, you know, I own my own gym as well. I own a King's MMA. Yeah, it's near Disneyland in California. So we had to shut down for 6 weeks. And, you know, the government's like, oh, we'll take care of your employees, unemployment, whatever. I said, okay. And then they gave us like this whole stimulus or the PPP loan, whatever. We said, okay. And we were at like 250 students and we dropped down to like 60 students.
Yeah. I hear you, bro. I hear you.
So I just decided like, hey, we're not staying closed anymore. If they want to shut us down, they can walk in and they can arrest us one by one and then go like that. So we just opened back up. We opened back up for a month and they said, oh, you're good. You guys are back open. And then they shut us back down again. And I just said, no, thank you. We're not shutting down. So right now our gym's running, people are there, but for a little bit, it was mess. Hey. It was just like, I was in there training hard, but like sometimes the guys would come in and sometimes I would be just by myself. Sometimes I'd be either doing ground and pound or I'd just be hitting the bag. And I got sick of it. Luckily for me, I found a bunch of wrestling kids, these wrestling studs, like these guys who placed in state, these kids that are like a bunch of tough kids. So I got to do a lot of wrestling this last couple of months.
Oh, that'll keep you in shape. And I'll tell you, it's rough, man, as far as, because I know I had two schools. I shut one down during all this. It's never been busier, but when they say you cannot open your doors, you're not allowed, and they, you know, the landlord still expects that rent every month. It's like, yo, what the hell are you even talking about? I'm not allowed to be in there legally. So I feel you, man. It feels like every month you're just like taking a hit, man. You are.
And the first time I shut down, I took the advice of my coaches and my wife. They were like, well, what if they come after us and they permanently shut us down? And I said, okay. Because even the first time I was like, I'm not shutting down.
Yeah. I get worried of health department shit. Like just, I don't want fines and everything. You know, but
yeah, I went straight into fight mode. Yeah. Like, but they're like, calm down. But then they saw my side. They saw the fact that we're not going to survive. We're going to shut down one way or another. So they're like, okay, we'll open back up. So we opened back up and we've been going hard. Good. Not as busy as I was like, but we're getting there. I think people are still scared.
You're maintaining it. You're just keeping it open. So when people want to come, they can come.
Yeah. A lot of people came back. We have a lot of people who came back, but we also have a lot of people who haven't come back. I really think a lot of people are just still scared, you know?
This thing's wrong. It's going to run its course, man. It's going to have to get back. People, I don't like when people don't want things to go back to the way it was, or it's like the people have no kind of social interactions with people, or they don't like give a shit about jujitsu, or they don't give a shit about kids going to school. And they just be like, why can't we just do everything from home type of thing? It's like, yo, we don't want to live our lives like that. You know, it's just,
yeah, no thank you. That's how you get like we're getting depression like through the roof right now. True. Like suicide's up, spousal abuse is up, like it's just everything. It's if you live in a home where there's trouble, like everything's getting worse. And then if you live in like a strong nuclear family units, they're normally doing better. So it's just, man, it's not a good time for us, and I don't think being shut down is the best idea, because I don't know. I think the side effects of this are worse from the shutdown than the actual disease, but that's just my opinion.
Yeah, there's stuff that people can't – that they can't – doctors, they can't just see. It doesn't just always add up we don't want you getting sick. But, you know, there's other ways of people getting sick, mentally sick, like you talked about. When you train, whether it's jujitsu, kickboxing, whatever, you're going to the gym, they're not allowing gyms to open at all. I mean, it lets off these endorphins that just make you feel, it's a natural drug and it makes you feel good. People aren't feeling that right now. So they're just like you said, they're getting depressed, suicides are up. I'm telling you, man, people need it for their mental health, not just the physical health.
My trainer canceled my session today. I had like just a regular session, just a regular workout. She canceled and I was so happy. I was so happy.
Jimmy, that's totally against what we're saying.
No, I know. I'm just saying what a lazy lump I am. I was nothing I can do. You know, I guess I have to wait till tomorrow.
You're funny.
Yeah, you know, stress and anxiety this is actually documented. There are studies on this. Stress and anxiety will lower your immune system, making you more likely to get sick. So, we just got to recognize these things. Yeah. If we can recognize these things, I think we can do better. I think one of the best things you can do is turn off your TV and stop listening to the news. They scare the hell out of you.
Yeah. I try to avoid a lot of the stuff like social media, all that stuff. I've done a good job of avoiding a lot of it. Hey, before we move and let you go, I wanted to ask you too. We don't want to forget you helped Justin Gaethje get ready for Tony Ferguson. How hard is it to mimic Ferguson? I mean, how hard is that?
They just told me to be a goofball and just throw whatever I can out there and then do some rolling Imanari rolls. And I was like, all right, this shouldn't be too hard. So,
did you at any point during sparring, now I'm asking you, you got to be truthful now. I know you're a truthful guy. Did you ever try to mimic the El Kukui dance?
No, I don't.
I'm not kidding. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. I can't do it. But did you ever try to do it? That's really.
There was no dancing, but I would like, I would do some stuff with my hands just to kind of. It was not pretty.
Hey, man. People, when he does that during a fight, it freaks me out because he's a dog fight, and all of a sudden he'll start doing some El Kukui dance moves. And if I was fighting him, I'd be like, what the hell is this? I was gonna say a worse word. I feel bad cursing in front of him.
I appreciate it. It's all good. Honestly, I think in terms of fighting, he's one of the worst guys to fight because he's genuinely insane in there. Yeah. Once he gets in that octagon, like it's just all gone. And I was trying to mimic that. I was like, I'm like sparring with Justin, who hits real hard, and keeping my hands down and just trying to touch him up, and then go for the legs, and then get stuck on bottom and get hit by ground and pound, like. It was hard. It was definitely totally against my style. But bro, Tony's is a special guy.
Neil, let me ask you this, because if anybody would know, you would know. And you're a phenomenal grappler yourself. And sparring with Justin Gaethje, how does he handle the grappling when you're trying to get him down? Especially he's fighting Khabib. You would know firsthand how that's going to be looking. Possibly. I mean, you're a bigger guy. You're looking to take him down.
I think if I was Justin, I would keep the fight in the center. And because his takedown defense in the center is so good. He's so difficult to take down in the center. But against the cage, he's a little bit easier, at least for me. But, maybe it's a style thing. Yeah. But his takedown defense in the center is so good. He gets his leg away so fast. His footwork is so good, and his power is there. So I think he keeps it in the center. He's going to be very difficult to take down. If he gets pushed to the cage, he'll have some troubles. And especially for a guy like Khabib, who can just stay there, even if he doesn't get the takedown, he can kind of hang on you and just wear out and win the round like that. So I think if the fight stays in the center for the first two rounds, I think you'll see Khabib really hurt or even finished.
Ooh, interesting. Very honest and very interesting.
Think the threat of the takedown neutralizes Gaethje's leg kicks at all? Do you think that he changes the way he approaches it because of the obviously what Khabib's going to try to do?
I think so. Yeah, I think if I was him, I would not focus on leg kicks. I would focus on footwork. Be difficult to catch, move around. And because Justin has so much power. I felt it, man. I felt him. Like, he cracked me, and I was like, dude does not need to throw a lot to hurt people. He could put people down. I mean, Tony Ferguson, I don't understand how he didn't go down. I honestly don't know. Like, I watched Justin hit guys. He hit me and other guys in training, and I thought to myself, he's one of the hardest hitters I've ever trained with. So, respect to Tony. With 4-ounce gloves on, and he still didn't go down.
Well, look, buddy, it's always good talking to you. Good luck on this Saturday, I believe.
Yeah, he's in Vegas. He's ready to rock.
Yeah, I drove out here early. I like to get out here early, kind of get used to the weather. And I'm staying at the – I got a deal at the Trump Tower, so I'm staying at the Trump Tower. So I don't know if people will love that, but it is –
It's good, man.
Good for you. It's a beautiful room you're in. I actually thought you were in a nice place. Yeah, that's probably where I'd stay when I was there. So awesome.
I'm looking forward to the fight, buddy. Yes. Always love watching you fight.
Always good talking
to
you.
Thanks, man. I got a nice kitchen in here. So I've been actually cooking my own food, too. I'm excited for this fight. I got a tough guy in Scott.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do. Well, we'll be watching, buddy. And all our best. And please come on again soon.
Yeah, it's always good talking to you.
I appreciate you guys. Take care.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
I forget that I'm a foul-mouthed little man.
It's okay.
And I feel bad sometimes cursing in front of people that don't feel comfortable around curse words.
I doubt he minds.
Well, I don't think he minds. He's such a nice guy, you know? You knew that was his trainer, Rafael Cordero?
I mean, I've yes.
But that's so, you know, I think that's...
I didn't know he was training Tyson.
What a great combination, because he's a very likable guy. And he's a badass, you know? He's a great, you know, so I'm like... I wouldn't have thought of that combination of them two together, but what they look like they have such a great chemistry.
Now, Matt, we do have Robert Whittaker coming up shortly. Before we talk to Robert, hopefully, yes. I know there's a huge time difference. Okay. We should quickly hit the fights. Very, very good card. We were both kind of on point, and we were both kind of way off. Actually, we were both way off.
With some, not all.
Most. We had a pretty disastrous.
What are you saying? I was. All right.
You were correct.
Right. Maybe you're right. I was correct with Bobby Green. Bobby Green defeated Lando Venata, and it was by decision. It was great fight. It was a great fight.
Man,
great fight.
Yeah, incredible.
You said Venata by decision.
I did. Yeah, but Green clearly won. And he just, I mean, he was just laser accurate, great fight. And Venata's hard to hit. And even when he loses, he's fun to watch. I mean, even a decision loss, he's always fun.
Always fun. Lando Venata. I like his name. His name is, you know, it's very interesting.
Very Star Wars-ish. Now, Vicente Luque, it's really hard to bet against Vicente Luque, but we're friendly with Randy Brown. We like Randy very much. You know, those kicks, you don't realize how slender Randy's calves are until you see Luque kicking them.
Well, he was pinpointing that angle. Oh my God. And it's funny. I listened to our last picks and our last thing with that. I'm like, and Randy Brown trained by me. I meant trained by my academy. I didn't mean trained by me.
Yeah,
I know, but I don't want people to be like, I'm picking him. Whatever. He has his instructors. But he was training by my school a bunch on Tuesday nights, but that hasn't been going on since this thing went down. So I haven't seen him in a while. But, listen, he was game.
Yeah.
And it looked like he went to put his hand down, and before his hand touched, I'll tell you what.
He lifted him.
Vicente is a beast as far as when there's some blood in the water, man. He is a shark. Like, he's just like. Now I'm just finishing you off. And those punches from such a short range.
He stopped his hand from touching. And you could see in the replay, he lifts him a little bit and he drove that knee up. I mean, it's just aware to do that. Really smart to not let his hands hit the ground. He pretty much was, he collapsed.
It was rough. It was a brutal one.
It was a brutal one.
You know, but I'm sure we'll see Randy Brown back again.
Yeah, of course.
You know, picking up, you know. If something goes wrong, he makes the corrections. Jennifer Maya, I have to tell you, she did not let Joanne Calderwood get going. I mean, she was just on her with the strikes from the very beginning. And then the armbar, you know what happens with the armbar? Sometimes you get a little, this is what happens. You know, people don't get caught up with these same arm locks, basic arm bars from guard. It's like day one, day two stuff you learn in jiu-jitsu. An armbar from guard, armbar to triangle. But this is what happens in a fight. In jiu-jitsu class, you don't feel a need to even push them back down. You could posture up and go, but now they're looking to strike you. Now you're looking to control their shoulders, biceps, and whatnot, upper body. So you're leaving your arms out there, even for a split second. You're not just posturing up. You're in a closed guard down. So when that happens, it takes a second for them to get that angle and get that over your head. And then when normally a lot of times you slip out, the gloves, they stick. So now it's like, oh, man, I'm almost out, but they have a good grip over by my hand. I feel like I got this big hoof, this big, big ball on the it feels like normally you could just grab your own bicep and make different grips. That's why I recommend when you're doing the straight grappling, jiu-jitsu training, even roll with gloves on. It makes a difference. It does. And, you know, so I think she just got caught deep. There was a point where from the outside, it looked like when she was about to get finished, she could have stepped over and kept the weight on the arm. But you really don't know until you're in it. I saw the replay. I'm like, she might have just had to go with the pressure when that arm lock was on.
How much time was left? How much time was left, Matt? That was really.
I believe there was a lot.
For some reason, I'm remembering it wrong.
Maybe they can look that up because I thought there was.
I might be remembering it wrong. For some reason, I'm thinking it was at the end of the round. But again, I'm a fucking idiot whose brain is not working for the last 8 years. So,
Jimmy, I'll tell you, man. But I was impressed. Not only was I impressed with Jennifer Maia, you know who else was impressed?
Who?
Well, I thought maybe you'd guess. Okay, obviously, I'll let the cat out of the bag. All right. Well, there's 30 seconds left in the round. 31 seconds.
31, okay.
That's 429.
All right, it's still enough time.
Valentina Shevchenko.
Oh, yeah.
Tweeted or put out there something along the lines like, what did she tweet?
Congrats, or see you next, or you're next, or something like that.
Or see you soon.
See you soon, yeah.
I didn't want to get it wrong, but.
Something like along those.
We're paraphrasing, but she's basically, you know, got her attention. Up, see you soon, Jennifer Maia. What a little fist emoji. It's getting a little spicy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I like that. Hey, man, after a performance like that, you need a performance to stand out. You know? Jimmy, I think you jinxed Joanne, though.
Why?
You're like, all right, you know, didn't work out for, you know, Frankie Edgar when he took the short-term thing. But
no,
hey, listen, good luck. You did something like that. I'm like, oh, Jimmy.
Well,
why don't you just do the old boogity boogity on it?
The thinking is, does it affect your decision making? Like, you know, you got to ask that stuff because it's the best example I can think of someone who didn't have to take it and took it, but he wound up getting a title fight anyway. It just set him back. And people respected Frankie for taking that fight. But it was almost like when you jump in and you take that fight, you're taking a big risk. And it's a legit risk and it must play into your thinking. It has to play into your thinking. Do you take it or do you not? What, like at first, wasn't it? Well, see, I don't know if it was true that Masvidal had said no to another fight because he was waiting for, what fight did he say no to because he was waiting for Usman? Was there another fight?
Now you're throwing a lot of curveballs.
I could be wrong.
I mean, I could start throwing names out like Leon Edwards. And I would just start naming welterweights. You might just be like, you're being silly, Matthew. Okay. And I'll say, don't call me Matthew.
I would not. Right, Matty.
Wait, Jimmy.
Main event.
Let's talk about something that we both got right.
That's right. Some of us got it more right.
Well, or a little premature. When did you say the stoppage was? Let me see.
Third round.
All right. And it got... Oh, did you... They never should have let it go in the third round.
You know, there was people saying that his corner maybe should have stopped it, but the referee didn't let it go for
very. It's true. I'm just saying that because
he's undefeated. You got to let him. He's 22 years old.
What a nice guy. Listen, I'll tell you. I'm telling you, man. Derek Brunson. I was saying it before this fight. That Elias Theodoro is not an easy guy to.
No.
He's a hard guy to get a decision on because he knows how to win a decision.
Yeah.
You know, he has the range. He throws the kicks from a distance and pulls the distance. He out grapples. And he finished him. He figured him out. Like, he's being way more calculated. Something is clicking with him that he's just fighting just more mature. He's fighting as a more seasoned fighter. It shows. The experience is show. Some guys are not learning from their mistakes or learning from past fights. He has never looked better.
Yeah.
And I like to see what's next for him, man, because it shows. I mean, first of all, they had a thing of all the guys he fought or even some of the guys he lost to. And it's like all like former champs. And
yeah,
it's like he's that he's right there.
And he won that Silva fight. He won that. I mean, you know, Adesanya
said that. That's right.
He won that fight in Brooklyn. And I love Brunson. And he looked so good. And it's this is the classic case. Like the you're not going to find a better example of a young guy who's really talented and how a veteran who's had everything thrown at him, who's fought the best guys in the division. Anything you throw at him, he's seen before. Anything you do well, he's seen other guys do that well. And he knows what he's done in the past right, and he knows what he's done wrong. So a guy like Brunson is smart enough to know how to counteract a young guy like that. Like, he just knows what to do.
It's like he knew that first round not to get too nutty.
Right.
Like, almost to be a little more defensive and time his attacks.
Yeah.
And then he just picked it up. And it was just, oh, the way that second round ended was just, Jimmy, it was brutal, the shots he landed.
Yep.
It very well could have been done there.
There was a giant elbow he dropped, right? And that was all within like 15 seconds. Or 10 seconds.
It's scary, Jimmy.
Yeah.
It was like less than 20 seconds left.
Yeah.
Some very heavy shots, pinpoint accuracy. And I'm telling you, he never got ahead of himself. He was very measured the whole time, very precise.
Yep.
I am so impressed with Derek Brunson.
Yeah.
I can't say enough, man. And
very happy for
it's
him.
It's good. It's good, man. I'll tell you who else was impressed by him. I'm doing it again, Jimmy.
Who I know you got me the first time.
Jimmy.
Shevchenko again?
Well, no, but who's the other champion, Jimmy? And who's the champion in his weight class?
That would be Adesanya.
Yes. He gave him a very nice tweet.
Oh.
He said something. Do you want to read it? Do you want to send it? Guys, put it up so we can read it.
If you don't.
By the time I'm done talking, we're going to have that exact quote.
And then I have to tinkle, so we should take a quick
break. Yeah, but then we're going to take a break.
I have to tinkle.
I know, me too.
I'm looking forward to Robert Whittaker, too. I hope that we don't have any technical glitches, because I like him a lot. That fight against Till was absolutely incredible.
Oh, nice one, Brunson. Oh, that's not me saying it. That's me.
Really showed your level of experience in this fight. Enjoy your time with your kids. Yeah, he gave him a nice tweet.
Ain't that nice? That makes me like Adesanya even more.
Yeah, I like him very much. All right, listen, why don't we do this? Let's take a quick break. We'll pee and come back.
When I was down, I didn't see ya.
No, sing when we come back.
Then I go like
make
this.
Me
I go,
wait for it.
I put my hands up like I'm looking for you, and I go like this back and forth. I go, I can't find you anywhere.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
I'm so sorry for being late. I was sitting in a Zoom meeting, but the wrong one.
Oh, that's so great. Imagine he just appears on somebody's like screen and they're all fans and they're like, what the hell?
Yeah, why are you here?
Hey, listen, congratulations, man, on a brilliant fight. I mean, it's very, you always want to see how somebody not only bounces back from a loss, but, you know, a stoppage in particular. And also, you know, when you had the title, you're at the top of the world. And everybody's with you. And I know how it is when you lose a fight. And on that grand a scale, it could be even worse mentally, physically. How does the guy bounce back? With one fight, you answer all those questions. You did brilliant. How are we feeling?
Yeah, on top of the world, honestly. It's exactly as you said. Post a loss, especially the way I lost, like getting stopped and then losing the belt, like probably one of, like, if you had to sum it up, like, that was one of the worst losses you can have almost, right? So to bounce back from that with a win is the relief and the pressure just leaving my shoulders is massive.
And he, you know, you're not a guy who gets stopped often. I mean, you hadn't, I think, you know, 6 years before that was your last loss. Did people, because he stopped Brunson as well. And I think that with a lot of times Adesanya, was his power surprising? I mean, everybody knows he can knock somebody out, but did his power catch you off guard a little bit? Because he seems to have surprising, like people don't really associate him with being a power puncher.
You know, honestly, and this is my belief for the entire game, especially in a division such as the middleweight, where speed and power, I think, are just perfectly blended. You know what I mean? It's more of a, if you put that shot right where it's supposed to be, that's it. You're going away. And it doesn't matter whether you're a power puncher or not. It's just, he hit me right on the chin with a massive hook, and that's that. That's like, you know, I could have been on my best day or worst day. It wouldn't have mattered with that shot.
How did you kind of get past that and move forward to fight Till? Like,
honestly, I think anybody that gets stopped obviously starts questioning their ability and their chin and all that, you know. And they're all doubts I think every one of us as fighters have. And if you don't, then hats off to you. You're crazy. Yeah. But I guess the thing that got me through it was, one, I enjoyed the process leading into it, which was huge, because regardless of the outcome, I was enjoying myself getting there. And two, it's like, hell, this is why we are a fraction of the population, because we can suffer defeats and losses and put ourselves straight back on the horse, straight back into the fire. And, you know, that's how I wanted to go down, regardless, you know, trial by fire.
So many things went right in that fight. You really did excellent. One of the things that obviously was scary is when you caught that elbow, and that was early. That was the first round, correct?
Very beginning.
between rounds, because great up until that. I mean, everything was great with, you know, what happened between rounds? How'd you feel? Do you remember anything in particular with your corner or mindset?
Yeah, I do. My corner was just like, you got to slow this back down. No more leaping in hooks, because we worked the leaping in left hook, because I think it's a technique that could have worked well on him. I think it's just he was ready for that blitz in counter, and just that hard elbow counter was just there. It's funny, you know, because I went in with that left hook. And I took that elbow right on the chin, and I remember when I got when I was on my ass, I was like, not like this.
Right?
Did that go through your mind? Like, not again?
Yeah, man. Like, right there, I was like, oh my god, not again. And then I got back up, and I've been in that situation. You just got to slow things down again. So slow things down. Went back to the corner, spoke to the guys. They gave me some excellent advice, and you know, we pushed on.
What is the preparation difference in a guy like Till, who keeps a much faster pace, to a guy like Romero, who you did 10 incredibly grueling rounds with, but he seems like such a tricky guy to fight, Romero, because he lulls you into this sense of, I guess, a certain pace, or he attempts to do that. And what was the preparation difference between a guy like that and a guy like Till, who presses much differently?
Yeah, you know what the biggest difference, I think, with a lot of these high caliber fights is that all the guys at the top 10 are very well-rounded, which makes it a pain in the neck to try and do anything, right? And the second bit is that, like, with Romero, it's like I find fights against people like Romero and like other different strengths like Jacare and things like that much easier than fights against Darren Till, because and this is a stylistic thing, because I think me fighting like Romero and Jacare and guys like that, it's like a rock, paper, scissors sort of match, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? Like, I'm good at striking, he's good at grappling, and then, like, you know, rock, paper, scissors. With Darren Till, it was like scissors versus scissors, and that was hard, you know, rock versus rock. So it was kind of trying to edge each other out to take advantage of the other aspects of the game.
Oh, it's very interesting to say it like that. And he said he had a, I guess, a knee stomp. Would that be an oblique kick, or is that something different? Is that just a different term for an oblique kick, or what's the difference?
Yeah, I just It's the fucking laughing.
Name, right?
Yeah. Oh no, I'm laughing because that's a shout out to Yoel Romero for Stump of Mine. ever since he did it to me, I'm like, you know what, I'm doing it to other people.
Yeah, you felt it. And you're like, hey, this works. This really hurts.
Yeah, it doesn't work as often as you would think it does, but when it does, it does. And
and you're scheduled now. They're talking about you fighting Cannonier, who looks so good.
Wait, is that booked yet or no?
Me, yeah, I've said yes to it. Like I said, yes, I'll jump into it. Just waiting on the paperwork, I guess, and all the other little bits and bobs.
Oh, okay, just to kind of get it finalized. But that would pretty much be. It looks like Costa is fighting Adesanya next, right? That's mm-hmm. the next championship, yeah. And then would it be kind of you against Cannonier? To see who gets that the challenge of that fight?
You'd think so, but who can honestly say?
What do you think of that fight, though? What do you think of Costa and Adesanya?
I think Adesanya has a skill set to stay up there for a long time. I think he's got the experience and the numbers to stay up there. The thing is, though, I think Costa has an X factor, right? Like he's physically just a monster. He is explosive. He's got knockout power. He's got cardio. He's got chin. He's what I call a powerhouse. And that to me is a massive X factor. So you don't know how this fight will play out. You don't know how that mixture of Adesanya is going to work out.
You don't see two guys. I mean, it might be 14-0 and 12-0 or 15-0 or something. Two undefeated guys going for that. And it's always interesting to me how a guy responds after a loss, the first loss. Like what's their first fight? Like back when they're on a streak like yourself where you had lost before, but it had been a long time. And there are guys that can't come back from that. They have a really hard time coming back from that. And you came back with a really tough opponent and a very tough fight, but you absolutely won. So I was happy for you.
No, thank you very much. Thank you very much.
And what's the thoughts that you're, because you got out of there like unscathed, like you just want to like jump right back in? Like, is that what's going on?
Yeah, so I guess like my previous thing with the my fight scheduling is just that my I've had injuries to deal with, I've had medical conditions, and then like just trying to juggle those and then find the right point to fight in. It was hard, as well as like with the whole burnout thing that I was going through. Like it was hard to juggle all of that at once. Whereas now I'm in such a good headspace, like you said, physically I'm fine to jump back in there. Why not? I'm enjoying everything anyway.
It's good. That rest was probably good mentally, huh? You took a little bit of time off and good for your body and your mind, no?
Massively, massively. Honestly, it just like reinvigorated my soul.
You can't rush that. It's not like you could just be like hear a certain song and be like, yo, get me, yeah. Let me put on Eye of the Tiger. I got to fucking, it's either you're feeling it or you're not, no?
Yeah, it's like, it's funny you say that because it's exactly like that. The thing that separates us is though, us as fighters is like we can do that for only so long. You know, we can. Yeah. And we've put on the Eye of the Tiger and we've just gotten through it. We've gotten through that session we didn't want to be at. We got through that fight you didn't really want to do. You know, but for how long? And yeah, that's where I was at.
Have you had that in the middle of a fight where something happens and you lose focus? So you're like, I really would rather just not be here right now.
No, I think that's just fortunate for me because I took the time off before I stepped in the octagon. But with that feeling is because that's what happens. That's what happens. If you don't, you can't go into fighting half-hearted. You can't go into fighting with only half a leg in. You know, otherwise that happens in a fight. You undergo adversity and you just, like, it's not even you, it's your mind that starts throwing in excuses and things like that. And I don't want to be that guy.
No, that's true. And I'll tell you, I saw on one of the specials, on the countdown specials, you just moved, I believe. And right? Or you've been there a little bit? You live like the beautiful, I mean, you have a lot of land, right?
Yeah,
like
I moved out of the city, yeah.
I mean, that is, how much space is that? Is your neighbor a mile down the street or some shit?
Yeah, it's about that. It's about that, which is great. I love that.
Jimmy, it's amazing. I seen it. I'm like, man. Like, so sometimes what do you find with, like, when we talk about the drive, it's so important. Like, because, like, when you got everything, like, when you, like, you know, you got a beautiful family, I'm sure you're doing well off enough to, you know, probably retire tomorrow. I don't know. What makes you still want to compete? You know what I mean? You're not fighting for that beautiful house. You got it now.
You know? Yeah, I guess for me, one is just the love of the sport, like the love of combat. I that's what I do. Like I really do enjoy putting my skills against someone else. Like I love that adrenaline, that tickle, that thrill when someone's stepping across from me and they're trying to take everything away from me. I love that, and I guess that's why I'm a little different than like the other guys working in the offices, right?
Yeah, I'm with you.
But I guess the next thing is like this is my trade. You know, this is my job. This is what I do. So, like, I wake up in the morning, I go to training, and the combination is that is the fight. And I guess the day that I walk away from fighting is the day I put my tool belt up. You know what I mean? It's what the day I retire and step aside from everything.
What do you see yourself doing after? You must have thought about what you'd want to do, opening a gym, or is there something else you'd love to do too?
Yeah, fortunately enough, I have a gym at the moment, Gracie Jiu-Jitsu Smeaton Grange. So we're out there, and I coach a little bit. I dabble with it. It's very hard whilst I'm fighting, but most likely at the end of my career, I'll have to pass this skill set on somewhere. It'll be a waste otherwise. So I'll probably move into the coaching scene and give my all to other people.
It's fun having the jiu-jitsu school, though. You know, it's different than if you had just a fighter's school. I mean, there's no money in it, first of all. It's a bunch of guys with their shirts off. And it's like, you know, nobody's got any money. I mean, you don't get me wrong. You want to, like, help people. I got, like, the best of both worlds. I can work with the fight team. But my school, having a jiu-jitsu school, you work with guys that will never get into a fight in their life. But if they do, you'll give them the skills to do it. And they're happy to be hanging out with you, learning an arm lock from Robert Whittaker or something. I mean, you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
I don't know. And you could be doing that for the next 20, 30 years.
I 100% agree with you, because there's also like when after a fight, when you don't want to hit anything anymore. Yeah. You've just had a hard fight. You just throw on that gi and you get on those mats and you just start rolling.
Yeah.
And they don't care that they're in a position you could punch them, and you're not even thinking about it because it's a different sport. And yeah, it is nice. It's refreshing.
It is.
You have a lot of space there now. Do you have animals or anything, or is it just land, or do you have anything, any reason you want it to be where you are now, or you just wanted some peace and quiet?
Peace and quiet. Like, I wanted to feel like when I was leaving the gym, I wanted to feel like I was leaving work. I was leaving the area, you know what I mean? Because that way it like helps me switch off a little bit. And then secondly, like I reached a point where I hated seeing my neighbors looking at me.
Yeah.
when I walk in the front door and I look to the left and the neighbors on his front porch just staring at me. Like, yeah. I don't know why, but that ate me up inside. So I was like, got to get away.
Why was he staring at you? Because, like, hey, that's Robert Whittaker? Or was he looking, you know, who's this guy with no shirt? Or what was he?
He's on his front porch, and I'm about 10 meters away from him.
Oh, he's just looking. Oh, you just didn't like it. Oh, the fact he was annoying, just his face was bugging you. All right.
Yeah. I like him. We just live too close to each other. It's just, you know what I mean?
Yeah, a lot of people I like more when I don't see them. Like, if I have to see people every day, which makes it hard for me in a relationship, I don't do it. I like to see people once in a while.
I've been pushing for 3 days a week with the podcast. Jimmy goes, well, you know, it's all right. Jimmy doesn't want to, like, with 2 days is just enough. Hey, Robert, how's your podcast? I remember I did a podcast with you, and then you're like, oh, this, that was fun, but I don't think it filmed, so I think it's all cut room floor. So, right? Did something like that happen? Did it work when I did the podcast?
I think it did. I think it did, but it was patchy because our tech at the time wasn't great.
That's what it was.
Yeah, but I stepped away from the podcast scene just a little bit for a little while, just to focus on like streaming, gaming, and streaming, which is
holy
really fun.
Shit, man! What did you just say?
You're on Twitch, right?
Yeah, I'm on Twitch.
We could have talked about this 10 minutes ago. You're on Twitch, and. Let me tell you something, and Jimmy likes when I bring this up a lot. You know, I don't know if you know, I play VR. I play Vive. So I play this game called Standout Battle Royale.
Can I brag for you?
No, Jimmy, don't tell him what I'm ranked. No. Or want me to tell him?
Matt's number two in the world.
I'm not. Jimmy, you're
no.
A different. No, first of all, wait.
I got a question.
What an asshole. I'm not Robert. I'm ranked number like 9 or 8 or 9.
I'm sorry.
You know I'm not number two. And I it's not nearly as special now. Yeah, you did that on purpose.
It's so mean, bro. But, But is that because it's VR and only about 20 people play it?
Well, let me tell you, you're welcome.
Or is it because you've got just like legit skills?
Listen, I'm going to tell you this. I want you to get it, and I want you to put some time in the gym with it. I want you to put some time in there, and I want you to work. And then I want you to give me a game invite, Robert Whittaker. Listen to me. I'm not throwing down the gauntlet here. Yes, I am. I will fucking own you. You'll drop off on Standout Battle Royale. Get six months of training. Six months of practice. That goes for you too, Jimmy Bird. You're in your fucking house. Get that goddamn VR, and I'm down. I'm all comers.
I may take you up on that.
All comers. Coming for everybody.
I get a little motion sick playing VR, but
yeah, I did too.
Exactly. I have to take those motion sick tablets.
You know what really does look good
on that thing is that Beat Saber.
I'll throw that Beat Saber on the floor and step on it. Let me tell you, Standout Battle Royale, it's like Hunger Games. You drop out, Robert. You ever played PUBG on
the
shit. You gotta, but it's not cartoony like the fucking Fortnite. I can't get into that.
Okay.
Oh, now you gotta get a weapon. I get pearlies. I snipe. I sit down. My kids think I'm a psychopath. So I'm like this. My mouth open. They go, "What are you doing?" Like, I'm nuts.
And you're sitting there camping for 4 hours.
Listen to me. When I kill somebody, they get salty and they go, "Oh, you're camping." First of all, I tell them, "Listen, man, survival of the fittest." And then I tell him, Kamora Savage, bitch. I tell him, my streaming. Let them. All right, anyway, listen, what are you streaming?
I play a lot of like, yeah, so I play like those big online games, like massively online.
What is that? Like Call of Duty?
So I play Elder Scrolls Online, then I've got like a bunch of guys, and we run dungeons and a lot of spell throwing.
and people like donate and stuff, right? It's like a revenue stream too, right? It's like people actually they can watch for free, but they can donate if they want to. Is that how it works?
Yeah, that's exactly. If they're interested in what I do and they want to support the stream, they throw it up. But otherwise, I just throw it up when I'm enjoying it, having some fun, just real relaxed and chill.
Yeah, it keeps your mind off.
And now you see like people like ask you questions while you're gaming type of shit?
Yeah. You know what? Honestly, the biggest incentive for me with streaming was just so that I could interact with my fans more directly. Okay. So, I'll throw up a stream just because 90% of the time I'm playing video games anyway, and then the questions will come up and I'll – I think it's a more personal way of interacting with my fans and supporters and followers and stuff.
Wait, so let me ask you, when you say you throw up a stream, that means you'll just go live and start playing and they can watch you in the corner and then your game is kind of in the monitor so they can watch what you're doing and see your face in the corner.
Exactly.
I wonder how that would be with the VR though, like, because I don't think a lot of people do it with VR. If they asked me questions, I'd have to look on my hands or some shit. Like, I don't know. How would that work?
I've seen it done. Like, I've seen people stream it. I don't know how the questions work because you're exactly...
Listen, I don't want to brag, but I murk people when they're streaming. Hey, man, it's Casey Idol, and I'm here with my brother. And I'm like, hey, guys, it's Kamora Savage. And they listen, I ain't going to brag, but they know they're in for some shit. When they hear me in the lobby, they know it's not going to be in a fucking cakewalk. Jimmy... I took out like three number like 10 players the other day.
You did.
I don't want to. I'm 46 years old. Is this embarrassing?
No.
Listen, you ever see the movie Grandma's Boy? Did you ever see that, Robert?
I don't
see it as a gamer. Don't see it with the kids. Watch it with the wife. Grandma's Boy. Anyway, they worked in a gaming company, and the guy who's the main guy in it, he's really good at the games, but he's a little bit older than the kids that work there. They call him the Gray Bush. And he was 36 years old. 36. I got a decade on that guy.
Yeah.
Is it immature that I'm gaming like?
Nah, that much more experience, brother.
Yeah, let's see this. That's nice, right. Jimmy, he doesn't shame me or judge me, Jimmy.
Yeah, he's a good guy. because this is
the exact path and trajectory I'm going with my games. It's like, trust me, I'll be playing games until I'm put in the casket.
It's good, man. And I figure with being a husband and a father, the fact that you make a little coin during this, it doesn't hurt. Like, hey, honey, I'm working. You're gaming.
To be honest, I don't earn anywhere near enough to justify me saying that. But me saying that makes it seem a little bit more important to her. So I get bugged out a little bit. I'm like, babe, I've got to work right now, please.
That's what I'm going to do, man. I tell them, man, when I'm getting those games in now, I'm working on my craft.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly it. Even though it's just like trickling $4 or something.
But that's the key, to find shit you like doing and be able to make a little bit of money. This way, if you get nagged for it, you're like, am I supposed to not pay rent? I mean, this is what I'm paying the rent by doing this.
Then you just got to start throwing in those inspirational quotes. No one started at $1 million. I got to grind. I got to work my way up. This is what I got to do.
Hey, man. I tell her I'm a top 10 player. It's fucking legit. Robert, Jimmy's watching that Fear, that about the mob in New York City documentary on Netflix. What are you watching? Are you watching anything special?
I haven't been able to watch anything for a long time. I've just been reading books and just that's about it. Not much else.
What book?
I read a lot of sci-fi fiction sort of stuff.
You can focus on that.
Yeah. I love that.
Good enough for that. I can't read anymore. My focus is such shit since I'm online all the time. You can actually settle down and calm yourself and read for a while.
For hours. Like I get addicted to it and I won't put it down. That's the problem. It starts to G me up and I end up just spending all hours of the morning just reading books.
Now, you know what, Jimmy? When he told me he was reading books, he almost lost me. And I asked just to be nice, what kind. And he brought me back in when he said sci-fi shit. What do you read? What is it?
Have you read Name of the Wind?
No.
That book is the best book I've ever read.
Name of the Wind?
Yeah. I think they have 3 books out at the moment. It'll give you at least like 6 months worth of reading. Like, it is the best book I've ever read. Phenomenal.
Name of the Wind is the first one.
Yeah, Patrick Rothfuss. That's fella. I even remember the author's name.
Like, could you give us a little? Listen, it's bound to be. They're gonna make this shit into a movie. I'm sure if it's that good. Ted, I'm gonna say, oh man, the champ told me about it. Listen, give me just a kind of a summary of what kind of it's about, like.
It's about kid romance and magic. That's it.
Okay. That's a By the way, this broad.
Is Matt. This is how Robert knew he was talking to two idiots, because he said, "I've been reading books," and we were like, "What? We couldn't get over what he had just said." So that's how he knows he's not talking to two educated people.
No, but once he said the sci-fi, now he's talking about a kid with the romance, and there's magic involved, right? You're bringing me in.
That's it, man.
I could not get into any books. I read the 5 Lord of the Rings book. Not Lord of the Rings. The Game of Thrones. I read it on my iPad where I made the font real big. So I like 2 pages is like 2 paragraphs. So it keeps my attention. And my fucking little finger. And oh my,
That would have taken you like 10 years. Like,
In a book?
A massive font with those big books.
Oh no, no. 1 page and I'm going to sleep. I got to think of that. I get lost in the fucking thing. The words jumbling into each other.
I don't know how you can keep it all together in your head reading a book like that, over that prolonged period, because that is in depth.
I recommend you do it with an iPad. You make it really big. So like 3 paragraphs and I'm done with it. One thing. Like, bing, bing. Anyway, loved it. So into it. I tried to get into other books after that. Nothing. I cannot. So literally the only books I ever read are the Game of Thrones books.
Yeah,
else do we got before Robert loses all respect?
Yeah, no, we gotta let Robert go. Literally am very psyched. We just found out about the Cannonier fight, and just congratulations on Tillman. You look so good. It was great to see a rebound. And you know, you against Cannonier, an incredibly interesting fight that is. He's another guy that just comes forward and is very, very dangerous. So
yeah,
hopefully it happens, man. 254, is that supposed to be back on Fight Island?
I believe so. I don't know where else it could be.
I guess the border's not open.
I think I was either leaving or I think you were just getting there when you were on Fight Island when I was taking off.
Oh, right? Yeah.
You were getting off. It's so weird with the fucking masks, because sometimes you just see the eyes and you're like, that was Robert. I see you getting the bus. But that was pretty cool, man. It was a sweet setup over there.
It's not bad. Like I could do that like long term. That's I think the whole setup is very professional. Everything runs pretty streamlined. Everything's pretty good. I'm not gonna. I got no complaints from that at all.
Yeah. Well, listen, man. We'll definitely talk to you again. We appreciate the time, and you're always such an interesting guy. So thank you for coming on with us.
No, thanks so much for having me. Every time I love it. Thank you.
Yeah, that Twitch is tempting. Yeah, Twitch is very tempting. A lot of guys are on that.
Listen to me. There's people. I'm not saying there's like an outcry because that's like I'm exaggerating. But there's definitely a good half a dozen people. No, listen, there's more than that. Jimmy, I have to share the gift that I have. I am not a lemon in that thing. I don't like that he was laughing at my abilities. No, I'm only kidding. The guy's the nicest guy. All right, listen, Jimmy, I had such a good time.
Yes.
I feel like we talked all day long.
It was fun. It was worth it. It was very enjoyable, and I'm happy that Robert made it. And I guess we'll see each other in 2 days.
2 long days, Jimmy. If you can't make it until, listen, first of all, be careful in New York. It's very dangerous now.
I will. And I'm starting audio today. I'm getting this mic replaced. There's a new one on order. So I know I was hitting it a lot. It was really a pain in the ass today. So my apologies.
Jimmy, nobody can stay mad at you. Okay. All right, buddy. I'll talk to you in a couple of days.
All right, buddy.
Goodbye, everyone.
See you guys. Bye.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.